W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The FBI now searching another of President Biden's home in Delaware, this one in Rehoboth Beach, as part of the investigation into handling of classified material. The president's personal lawyer calls it a planned search. The Fed is set to raise interest rates again today. A 0.25% hike is expected. The funeral for Tyree Nichols in Memphis is today, pushed to this afternoon due to bad weather and travel delays. Still, the investigation into his police beating death is ongoing.
Many activists, including Reverend Al Sharpton, other activists as well, and Vice President Kamala Harris is planning to attend, as well as the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, who were killed by police. Their families are expected to attend the funeral, which has just been pushed back to 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock local, because of the weather here in Memphis.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. This is ABC News. At the White House today, President Biden meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on raising the debt limit.
The two sides are already trading barbs, but the president says that McCarthy is beholden to off-the-wall commitments he made to the far right. McCarthy says the president is playing politics, so this is going to be quite a meeting, but I would not expect much progress here today.
ABC's Mary Bruce in Washington. The former head of bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX is now barred from getting in contact with any of his former workers.
The judge modified the terms of Sam Bankman-Fried's release on bond to prohibit him from contacting former employees of the crypto exchange he founded, FTX, unless he's in the presence of his attorneys. The judge also blocked him from using Signal and other encrypted messaging apps. Federal prosecutors had said these limitations were necessary because Bankman-Fried had reached out to, among others, the general counsel of FTX. The defense characterized the outreach as innocuous, but to prosecutors it seemed designed to influence potential witness testimony in his criminal case. Aaron Kitursky, ABC News, New York.
Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin has seen an alarming increase in the number of suicides, jumping 32% from 2000 to 2020. The Green Bay Press-Gazette reporting that suicide is now Wisconsin's 10th leading cause of death. In the last 3 years, suicide rates were higher among rural residents than urban residents, and overwhelmingly, the suicides were among men. The federal COVID-19 emergency declarations are set to end in May. That means control over things like testing and vaccines will be handed over to the pharmaceutical companies instead of the federal government. And while it only costs around $3 to make, Moderna plans to hike the price of a COVID-19 vaccine 400% to $130 per shot. That cost will soon fall on the consumer or insurance companies. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Hate and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Thoughts, questions, comments, want to hear it. Nikki Haley running for president. And this is one of those things where you go, will the pie fight begin? Is this the moment where all the gloves are going to be off, where the female Trump now comes out? Because, look, I got to tell you, I think she can be every bit as vicious as he ever was, and with some inside insight. Now she has said that she announced she's running for president, and she will announce in a February 15th special announcement. I guess this is teasing the announcement to get it out there. And this is, again, you know, I look at this moment that we're in, and I'm hopeful. Because what I see coming out of the Biden administration is hopeful stuff. It's moving us in a direction that I think is undoing some of the horrible of the past. And I've talked about this before. You're trying to undo some of the neoliberal supply side voodoo Reaganomic stuff of the past, and moving towards reshoring manufacturing and capacity here and positives. Yet the moneyed interests, the entrenched moneyed interests, not coming along. And the frustrating part of this is, man, they control the media. You know, I was reading something today, and you know, said, you know, is there, you know, 90% of everything we see, hear, and read are owned by these six big corporations. And they go, that's not new. But what's new is we don't talk about it anymore. We don't do it anymore. And I'm in this moment where the hope is that we find that common ground once again, where we again, you know, come back to somewhere near the sane line, and somewhere near the hope that we can move forward. Because again, I come back to this analogy. I used to believe that we were all on the same, in the same book at least. We all wanted the same things: good schools, safe neighborhoods, good jobs, retirement security, health security. You know, to lead, you know, that American dream that we were sold as kids. You know, the white picket fence, you know, 2.3 children, the dog, the car, the driveway, vacations. You know, all that's kids going to college life. You know, that stuff that we've been, you know, told that's the American dream. And yet what I'm seeing increasingly is we're not in the same book. We're not even in the same freaking library half the time. And is it, and this is what the question comes back to, is social media distorting reality? Because when I talk face to face to people, it seems that we're somewhere in the same neighborhood. As Doug Jones said a moment ago, you know, walk up to any of those senators or those Congress people and say, are you okay with the system that we have, that we're paying twice as much for healthcare as any industrialized country in the world and getting much worse outcomes? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with children who don't get to see doctors and families who have to go bankrupt because they can't afford their medical bills? Are you okay with that system? And none of them would say yes. The problem is there's so much entrenched interest that, you know, maybe these problems are so insurmountable that they're never going to get fixed. And that's a fear. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Alice on one. Alice, how are we doing?
Totally insane, but, you know, you'll have it.
Understandable.
So, yes. So I got a couple little things to bring up. Number one, you were wondering about the gun police. Well, honey, they're with the Merry Christmas police and, of course, the gas range police. We never see them. They sneak around. That's the only thing I can figure.
The stove troopers are coming.
Yes, yes. And then the other thing I was going to say is, you got Nikki Haley and, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is wanting so bad to be Trump's running mate for the vice president position. And I'm just sitting back going, oh, this is going to get real interesting real fast.
Yeah.
Because I can just see MGT deciding to go on the attack, you know, for fear that Trump might pick Nikki. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So maybe we could just sit back with the popcorn and watch them destroy each other.
Watch Rome burn? Is that where you're going? All right. I see that.
Yes,
I see
yes.
what you're saying. I appreciate the thoughts. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You as well. It's interesting. She brings up Marjorie three names. Now, you remember, and I took some heat from this. I said Democrats made a huge mistake, throwing her off of the committees. Granted, you know, she had no business being there, but I said it was a bad idea. Bad idea taking people off committees, and now they're paying for it because Republicans have thrown Swalwell and Schiff off of committees, and they're trying to get this Ilhan Omar off of committees as well. And you knew that was just coming, you know, tit for tat. You knew it was coming, so don't act shocked. Oh, can't believe they did it. They told you they were doing it, and they did it. But I said at the beginning, it was a dumb idea. I said leave Marjorie three names right where she was. In fact, put her in charge of committees. I want her on every committee. I wanted her on every committee so that she could say dumb stuff as she's going to do. For instance, she was in a hearing today, I believe it was, asking a witness about school funding. And, well, the hilarity ensued. Here's Marjorie three names. Or not. Somehow the audio for Marjorie has not played. Anyway, Marjorie basically says, hey, look, what we know, can you tell me how much money went to CRT? For those who don't know, and the witness did not know or asked for clarification. CRT is the theory on race that's critical. She said, how much went to this? And he said, CRT? And she said, it's a racist curriculum used to teach children that somehow their white skin was not equal to black skin and other things. And she went on to say that there's a school in Illinois that was given $5.1 billion to teach diversity, inclusiveness, and equality. $5.1 billion. For me, I want her saying these dumb things because no one's teaching elementary schools about critical race theory. Nobody. And yet she's got it in her twisted little head that it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And we're spending billions on it. Virginia's looking at potentially screwing up their entire education system because they had a post-it note that lost $200 million. Can you imagine what $5.1 billion would do for one little middle school in the middle of Illinois? And how do I get to that school district? And then, you know, the same thing with Gun Fetish Barbie. You had Lauren Boebert, who on the floor giving her speech, said a recent report stated that Americans own 46% of the world's guns. And she said, I think we need to get that number up, boys and girls. We're 4% of the world's population. We own 46% of the world's guns. I think we got enough. But in their world, this isn't weird. To the average American who goes, wait a second, I don't have health care. Oh, wait a second. We're struggling to keep food on the table. Wait a second. You know, we've got all these other problems and you're fetishizing guns? She went on to say that alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, that's a fun weekend in Western Colorado. Yeah, real responsible, Congresswoman. Congresswoman. These people should be on every committee so that you can see right up front. Now, understand, it's all a game. It's shtick. You know, she came in on this PR campaign of, look at me, I'm little Annie Oakley. But it filters down. For instance, the report came out today that the House Natural Resource Committee Republicans defeated a push to reinstate a carry ban in committee rooms. They don't want people carrying guns in the committee rooms. Okay, I kind of get that. You know, who knows where that goes? And, you know, the chairperson was asked, this Bruce Westerman was asked repeatedly to clarify what the policy was going to be. And, you know, I guess it was jokingly, I guess it was, or maybe made to be an intimidation tactic, you know, asked all the people to, you know, how many people here are carrying guns, and nobody raised their hands. And then how many people would tell you? Nobody raised their hands. It's kind of like, yeah, we've all got them. So you be worried, you liberals, because we're going to make you angry. But here's my question. And this is where I come back to this, because I'm a believer in, okay, if that's when in Rome, am I going to carry behind me a trolley of a 50 caliber machine gun? Because I need to feel safe. Because Gun Fetish Barbie, and this is the problem that I have with my fetish friends. She said she doesn't feel safe anywhere without a gun in her possession. That sounds like a mental illness. And do we want those people in Congress making laws? Scary times. Especially when we have, and I don't doubt her. I actually don't doubt her numbers. That we've got 46% of the guns on this planet. And yet we're just 4% of the population. But hey, remember, Wayne LaPierre said the gun confiscators are coming, along with the stove troopers, and along with the light bulb police, and along with, you name it, name the outrage. MS-13, I'm sure, will be part of it as well. And they're going to turn your children. They're coming for the children. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible,
2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Tennessee, new bills filed in the Tennessee General Assembly. And I love how they frame this. Add legal protection for some abortions in the state. We're going to add some legal protections for abortions. Yes, yes, we're doing the same thing. Until you read what some of these protections are, because again, we're criminalizing what people do with their bodies, and Tennessee being one of the leaders in this. We're basically hamstringing the medical profession, because look, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know anything about the medical side of this, but the stories that I've read and the people that we've talked to, you've got doctors who are playing defense. If a pregnant woman comes in, I feel for them, especially in a country that now has the highest, not only infant mortality rate, but maternal mortality rate. And now you add on top of this, you add on this, we're going to make it a defense, an affirmative defense, life of the mother. So rape, incest, life of the mother are now going to be maybe part of the Tennessee abortion ban. Maybe. This is a piece of legislation that maybe. And what they're putting into this, and look, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up forcing women into being liars, and you're going to end up forcing them into making false accusations. And then, according to this law, criminals, because they wanted to, well, exercise control over their own bodies. But like I said, it includes several requirements, rape, incest, all that. And you have to report it to law enforcement or to a rape crisis center, who will then report it to law enforcement. So there has to be a report. So you got to go through a process. There's no, hey, this happened, I don't want to get into it. No, there has to be a report, and they have to go forward with it, or nothing for you. You have to submit to a forensic medical exam. Yeah, that, and you have to do this in a period of time that, if you're younger than 12 years old, is no more than 10 weeks down the line. And if you're older than 13, no more than 8 weeks down the line. I'm not the brightest guy, but most people I know have told me that they don't even know six weeks down the line, 8 weeks down the line, if they are. So this seems like chaos. And that's the point. The point is to seem somewhat reasonable while creating this environment of criminality. And for me, the one part that is most important is the medical aspect of this. What if truly you're talking life and death, spur of the moment? And these doctors have to make these decisions in the spur of the moment, or people are going to die. And this maternal death rate that we lead the world in could actually get worse. Because again, it's a defense. It's not a right. You don't go, well, it's not like our police departments have this ability to go, oh, I feared for my life. I had to shoot him. Oh, okay. Qualified immunity. Yeah, no worries. Gotcha. You were fear. Yeah, I understand. Doctor can't say I was in fear that she would lose her life. There's no qualified immunity for that. And this is the weird kind of place that we're in on this issue. And as I've said, a number of times, I wish we had policies that moved us in different directions. I see no legislation anywhere that would encourage people to have kids. Nowhere. Nowhere. And you go, well, wait a second. If you really wanted to stop abortions, maybe stop pregnancies. That seems the logical place to start, right? So, you know, during the Obama years, tried to get contraception into health plans. Well, the crazy religious people went nuts. Went to the Supreme Court, and our Supreme Court said, well, religious freedom. They can deny their employees contraception. You go, how is that? It seems like the sane, rational way to go. But we're going to criminalize that too. In fact, there's organizing going on right now that over the next several months, you're going to see those. Because, you know, if they've shut down the abortion clinic, where are all those people who don't have lives or anything to do who are marching out in front of the abortion clinics with the fetus pictures? Where are they going to go? Well, they need a hobby. They need something to do. Well, they're going to put them out in front of the CVS and out in front of the Walgreens and out in front of the drugstores. Because, well, the next target is contraception. The next target is Griswold. The next target is that. And you know it. You see it coming. And look, I get the emails. They're already organizing around that idea. We hear it now. It's medically induced abortion. It's what birth control is every month. It's prevention. You remember when there was a guy that had a flag? Or that wasn't a flag. It was a kite, right? A kite with a key. We learned about him in like elementary school. Made a potbelly stove. He's postmaster general. Electricity, something. Remember him? Had a saying. What was it? Ounce of prevention, pound of cure. Wasn't that him? Or maybe that was poor Richard and his almanac. I'm not sure. But it was one of those. But it made sense. We prevent things. But I don't see any pieces of legislation anywhere moving us in that direction. Nowhere. Nowhere is there a universal prevention bill to say, look, you know, okay, well, if we're going to make this illegal, we're going to help prevent it. And then I don't see any of the other bills. If you're forcing people to have children, I see none of the supports. What are you doing to these children? What kind of abusive... What kind of lives are you leading for these kids where we're not getting them health care? We're not ensuring that they get a good education. We're not ensuring that they've got opportunities. We're not ensuring anything. Where's that legislation? Where are all these pro-life warriors to make life better? Where are these pro-life warriors to make sure that mothers don't die giving birth? Where are these pro-life warriors to make sure that people don't starve and go hungry? Where are these people? Oh, that's right. They're going to be marching in front of the CBS. And it's angering to me. Because look, you know, I get it. I'm not in favor of abortion myself. I'm on the pro-safety side. I want it to be safe and legal. I that's it. I want, if my daughters ever decided or my wife ever decided this was the route they were going to go, I want them safe. I don't want anyone dying in an alley. But we're not talking about any of the other solutions. We're talking about the one thing. We got a hammer and everything's a nail. And instead of saying, okay, if you're going to force people to do it, how about the other stuff? How about we work to make lives better? Why can't we start with healthcare? Why can't we start with education? No, we can't do that. Because, you know, once they're born, they're on their own, right? Once they're out, pull yourself up by those proverbial bootstraps. Or the umbilical strap. I mean, this is the weird place where our policymakers have shoved us. And it's all these zealots. And this is what gerrymandering has done to this country. It's created these pockets of zealotry where there's no competition for ideas. Because look, you know, there should be a competing equal bill to say, no, there should be abortion clinics on every, there should be drive-through abortion clinics. Now, I'm not in favor of that either. But look, if men had to give birth, oh, there would be. There would be drive-through abortion clinics. In fact, we'd be giving awards away for the men who had the most. I guarantee it. But because this is more about power and control than it is about the children, they don't care about the kids. They don't care about the children. They don't. Because
the Shah wants. This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The FBI now searching another of President Biden's home in Delaware, this one in Rehoboth Beach, as part of the investigation into handling of classified material. The president's personal lawyer calls it a planned search. The Fed is set to raise interest rates again today. A 0.25% hike is expected. The funeral for Tyre Nichols in Memphis is today, pushed to this afternoon due to bad weather and travel delays. Still, the investigation into his police beating death is ongoing.
Many activists, including Reverend Al Sharpton, other activists as well, and Vice President Kamala Harris is planning to attend, as well as the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, who were killed by police. Their families are expected to attend the funeral, which has just been pushed back to 2:00 Eastern time, 1:00 local, because of the weather here in Memphis.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. This is ABC News.
Never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is getting a lot of attention. State Senator Melissa Agard says voters seem to be more aware of what's at stake.
Whether it's reproductive freedoms, whether it's the maps for our legislative districts, whether it's access to voting, those have been on the front burner for people in our state.
Agard speaking at a WIS Politics luncheon yesterday. The primary election is the 21st. Wisconsin dairy farmers are getting more money for their milk. The U.S. Ag Department says Wisconsin dairy farmers got $23.30 per hundredweight in December of last year. That's $1.80 more than a year before that. In sports, seven-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady says he's retiring for good this time. The Bucks beat Charlotte last night and Marquette hosts Villanova tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experience.
Their screwballism and intentionally bringing the evil of bigotry, intolerance, and even fascism in from the fringe of politics to sit in the seat of power. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is shameful and it's dangerous. Evil swarms when so-called leaders meekly give permission for crazies to use the government power to rule over us.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Nazi homeschooling. Yeah, the Ohio Department of Education, as we've been talking about the last couple of days, looking into the Nazi homeschooling. And again, this is all predictable. And look, the more you pull back the layers of all of this school choice stuff, all of the voucher schemes, all of the privatization, all of the homeschooling, you're going to find, oh my goodness, the kind of craziness that Nazi homeschooling will bring us. And I guarantee that's probably not even the worst of it. And that's the weird part of this. And understand, it's not about making lives better. As I said a moment ago, it's not about making kids' lives better. It's about power and control. It's about the moneyed interests exacting their power. And here to share some thoughts on, well, you know, look at these schemes, all of them, from the charters to the vouchers to the cyber charters to all of this stuff. Who's behind it and who benefits? Is it your kids? Is it mine? I don't think so. That's why I've asked Lisa Graves to come talk with us. She's the executive director of True North Research. Their website, truenorthresearch.org. They are the, in my view, one of the top corporate watchdog groups. And they've done some work on this issue. Lisa, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, Rick, thank you so much for inviting me on. I appreciate the chance to talk with you about this.
So, you know, I look at this and it looks like every state's got their own scheme on how to get into the education dollars and to privatize education. And the spiel is always the same. Parents should have choice. Lisa, parents should have choice. Why would you be against choice?
Well, you know, that's the language they co-opted from the actual choice movement, which many of these same groups have actively opposed women's reproductive choice. But it's, you know, it's branding for them. In reality, this is a long time scheme. It's been pushed by so-called libertarians and so-called conservatives. But it's really about power, as you mentioned, Rick, and money and control. You can see some of the roots going back to the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which, you know, many people now remember as one of the most important and best decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court in its history. But at the time was assailed vilely by racists and folks on the right. Some of them were Democrats, some were Republicans back then. But there was an effort to try to stop racial integration of the schools. And that has taken on different forms in the 21st century. But the roots of that go back to that decision in 1954, where the court said the Constitution's equal protection of the laws applies to all people, that kids can't be segregated based on race in schools. And then you've just seen so many permutations of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, these different schemes to try to privatize public schools to get around integration, racial integration, but also to try to stop kids from learning about our history and our society and the way science works, the way human bodies work, the way biology works. And so this is, you know, part of a longer term strategy, but we've just seen such an acceleration of it, as you point out, in these state legislatures over these past few years. And right now in these new state legislative sessions with these sort of right wing Trump aligned extremists, really going after the public schools, trying to redirect those dollars to private hands with hardly any oversight. And I can talk a bit more about that, what the schemes we've seen, the schemes that have been uncloaked, that have just been rampant with fraud, rampant with waste, and also miseducating kids, really not making sure that our children, America's children, have the best education, that they are learning science and history and math, but instead are being taught by people who are unqualified to teach, and people who are teaching things like that expose, you know, in terms of Nazi ideology or racist ideology. It's really shocking that this is where we are in the year 2023.
No, you know, look, I've known some people who have who homeschool their kids, and some of them do, I guess, an okay job, but the majority of them I know, it's for religious reasons. And you know, I had one guy tell me the only book my kid needs is the Bible, because we quote them and tote them. And I'm going, you know, turn to the page on math. And it's, you know, again, not there, but it's that ideology that you speak of. It's this, you know, creating the words that they use, Christian warriors, kind of concerning.
It is. I have family members who have done homeschooling. I have friends who are either advocates themselves or escaped, you know, kind of got away from that sort of environment. I remember meeting a woman in my geology class, my lab partner, who turned to me and told me that she didn't believe that the Earth was anything more than 8,000 years old, that science was all made up, that she was homeschooled, and this is what she'd learned from her parents and the Bible. And people have a right to their religious beliefs. But what we're seeing now is this effort to try to redirect public funds to reinforce that religious indoctrination, which, you know, certainly has the transmission of morality, which I expect parents are doing on a daily basis, regardless of where their kids go to school. But the idea that public tax dollars should then be subsidizing the type of things that that expose revealed is just really shocking. And, you know, that's not the only thing. We've seen money going into vouchers for schools where kids are taught that they're evil. Now, you know, that can be a tenet of religious faith and a basis for someone, you know, being baptized, you know, based on their faith. But that's a very different thing than universal public education for all kids in America to access all, for people of all faiths or no faith, people whose parents raised them in a particular religion or raised them to have other ethical, you know, other ethical bases for action and kindness. But the idea that our public schools should not either exist, which is certainly the goal of some of these individuals, or that that money should just be redefined as public schools if it's a school in someone's home, you know, without any oversight, without any rules, you know, with just this minimal testing. It's really extraordinary. And I think it not only hurts our society to have this sort of free-for-all happening where so much money is trying to be pushed into situations where you don't have people who are trained properly to be teachers, who don't have the certification, don't have the knowledge base to really understand the different types of ways that people learn, that children learn, to not really have the substantive training in the different fields like science and math, as you point out, Rick. They may have training in a religious field or a different field that they majored in, but they don't have that training. You know, that's not a first-class education. That's not a high-quality, world-class education, which, you know, we need in our country and we need in the world for America to not be, you know, regressing by having our school dollars captured by the loudest few who want to basically kill public schools and get their hands on that money themselves.
No, and look, this is the thing that frustrates me, is because we are the wealthiest country in the history of civilization at its wealthiest moment. And we're squandering it by ensuring that the wealthy are able to extract a huge portion of it, whether it's healthcare or education now. You know, healthcare incorporated, what was supposed to keep us healthy and you know, help us get through rough times, has a profit motive now. Education is that new shiny thing that corporate America wants to delve their hands into. And I understand that, but it seems like now there are competing groups to destroy public education. Before it was just, hey, how much can we screw the taxpayer? Now it's more about, I fear, it's about, well, screwing the taxpayer, obviously, but it's about that control issue. It's about the indoctrination that they claim that the left is doing to their children. It's really about indoctrinating them into some weird kind of cult mentality that I see.
Well, you know, I think this moment, you know, has to be seen through the lens of race, where there's just this rise of racism, unfortunately, and this hostility to the idea of teaching African American studies, teaching about African American contributions. I know growing up that, you know, I had an incomplete education. I was not learning about as much about our history. I certainly wasn't learning much about modern American history. Learned a lot about battles in the American Revolution and the Civil War, but didn't really learn about what was happening in the social movements, the way that people in America who were protesting the draft in World War I were assailed, were jailed. You know, didn't learn really about, you know, 100 years of racial segregation by law in America that was, you know, finally thrown off through the Voting Rights Act, through the Civil Rights Act, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and the 65 Voting Rights Act, and more. You know, didn't really learn much about that history. And I've been glad that American kids are learning more about American history. I'm glad that they're learning more about science and math. And you know, and it's just really sad to see such a reaction to this. And also, you know, just quite frankly, I know so many kids I grew up with who, you know, really struggled. Socially, some of them were gay. We didn't even really have much of the language to talk about that at the time. kids in schools across the country commit suicide because they feel like their identity, their true selves, you know, can't be reflected. And I've been so inspired by these young people, by these younger generations coming out and saying, you know, love is love, and people have a right to be respected regardless of their gender or whether they're gay or straight or LGBTQ. But have these parents reacting with such hostility, like what was happening in Texas. This idea that they're going to go after the parents and go after the kids who are already the most at-risk kids in the country. I just would say to you, Rick, like, I can't imagine being in a circumstance where, you know, I didn't feel like I could express my love for the person I was in love with, if it was a woman, that I didn't feel like I could do that. And the idea that these kids are somehow an abomination, when in fact, they're actually really brave, that they are determined to live their life and be happy and take on some of this, regressive ideas, because they just want to be respected. They just want to be who they are, and to have that be met not just with, you know, individual pockets of discrimination or hostility, but like organized, seemingly well-funded attacks by some of these so-called parents groups that are determined to repress those kids, attack their parents, attack doctors, attack teachers for daring to treat these kids with respect, to call them the name or pronoun they want. It's just really appalling. It's shocking the level of cruelty that behavior reveals.
Yeah, no. One of the big groups out there, this group's Moms for Liberty, which is kind of a joke if you stop and you really think about, what they stand for and all what you're saying. You know, moms, I would hope, would never treat their children that poorly. And if you're fighting for liberty, that ain't it. So again, these euphemistic names they come up with that are the antithesis of what they actually stand for. You see all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, a mother's love, and just, you know, in the context as well of Tyre Nichols, you know, calling out for his mother, this idea of what it means to love your child unconditionally, to want your child to be happy, to want your child to be free, and then to have these people use this branding as Moms for Liberty when they're trying to repress the teaching of history, repress kids who are LGBTQ. That's who they are. It's not a choice. That's who they are. And to just try to get books removed from libraries. It's just extraordinary. And as you said, they wrap themselves in essence in the American flag and in this this language of liberty, but the actions are counter to liberty. And they through their PAC, worked very hard to prop up and aid Ron DeSantis in his agenda, which is, you know, so extreme. And we're seeing, you know, books being covered with sheets to keep people from even seeing the what's on the title on the binding. It's crazy that this is America right now, that this if it's an effective form of book burning without the flames.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you saw that book, I mean, I got to tell you, I didn't spend a lot of time in the library as a kid, but if I saw that book and it was covered and they were hiding it, and they wouldn't that make you want to read it all the more?
Oh my goodness. You know, the Judy Blume books that made their way around the 13, 14, 15 year old girls. Were paperbacks. I don't think we even had them at the library at the time, but like, you know, that was the most sought after. Those were the ones that were banned were the most sought after books. You had that situation in Virginia with the Virginia governor's race back in 2021, the trial balloon for some of this effort by right wingers and Republicans to rebrand themselves as the parents' party, even though they had done everything they could to block access to, you know, paid leave for parents when their kids get sick, or to the children's health insurance program, to expanding that, or to children's lunch to get free lunch. Like, they want to call themselves the parents' party, while the policies that some of these groups like the Independent Women's Forum have put forward have been antithetical to the things that parents need and say they want. But you saw in that that race in Virginia, which was apparently effective for them with Governor Youngkin, where they were attacking Toni Morrison's novel, which has been widely acclaimed as an important novel for high school kids and college kids to read. And, you know, just to have these battles be fought and refought over and over again, this effort to censor wrapped in this morality, it really is a regressive pattern that we've seen over time. And it's not just happening, you know, spontaneously. It's being fueled by groups that have ties to Koch funding from the, you know, biggest, you know, one of the richest billionaires in America. His organization, his corporation has said that they haven't specifically funded these censorship campaigns, but they fund the groups that have been pushing censorship campaigns. So, you know,
it filters, it trickles down.
You know, and then you have other parts of this so-called movement on choice. You had Rupert Murdoch saying, you know, that this was a $1 trillion industry and he basically wanted to get his hands on it. But then you have some of the richest families in America. The Walton family from the Walmart fortune has been pushing for privatization of public schools. The DeVos family, which comes from the Amway fortune, as well as the Prince, motor fortune, Eric Prince and Betsy Prince DeVos, the fortune that came out of the components that they were providing to automobiles in Detroit. You know, they have been pushing to kill public education for years now. That's the DeVos agenda. When you saw Betsy DeVos become the Secretary of Education, someone who basically said there shouldn't be public schools. It basically should be money going from the public to the private sector. She and her husband gave an interview to this thing called The Gathering that I wrote about a couple years ago, in which the person said, well, you know, you're super rich. Why don't you just create whatever private schools you want and fund them? Like, why are you so focused on public education? And she basically said, even with all their money, they didn't have enough money to basically take over the public schools and get religious education as the dominant form of education. Now, you know, I have my husband went to religious schools as a kid. I have a lot of friends who did it. I'm not opposed to it as a principal. What I'm saying though is, in the United States, we have a First Amendment that has barred the establishment of religion and has for decades. The Constitution has been read to make sure that we're not subsidizing the establishment of religion or any particular other person's religious education, that people can pursue that on their own through their churches, through their synagogues, through their mosques, but that we, the people, through our tax dollars, should not be subsidizing private religious indoctrination. But what people like Betsy DeVos want, they don't want there to be public schools. They want there to be only private schools and religious schools at that, and really they're in their religion.
Yes,
their religion.
I wanted to get to that. Not anything, not any other religion. Because I've said, once we get to the place where they want to take us, which is, you know, this, we're a Christian nation, and we're, the fun will really begin to decide, you know, which sect wins out. When they start eating their own, that's when the real entertainment will begin. Because when you throw all this money in there, when that Hunger Games scenario comes on, that's when the real entertainment will begin.
Well, and that, you know, that point goes, I think, to also this larger trend, which is I'm pro-choice. I have friends who are anti-choice or pro-life. You know, that's their choice in a pluralistic, free society, a society that honors liberty and, people's ability to make their own medical decisions. What we're seeing through the U.S. Supreme Court and through these efforts by people like Leonard Leo, this maestro of dark money who helped pack and capture the Supreme Court, what we're seeing is this not just willingness, but aggressive determination of people to impose their own religious beliefs as law. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court did in that decision last year in Dobbs. They didn't just issue a ruling about Roe and overturning 50 years of precedent, other precedent that they overturned last year and they're going to overturn this year. What they did was basically impose their own personal religious beliefs as law, as binding law on the rest of us by saying that this ruling had to be reversed. And I can't think of anything more antithetical to liberty than the arrogance of believing that my religious beliefs should be imposed by law on other people, that other people should have to obey my religious beliefs. I don't think that any sort of modern American who cares about liberty would believe that it was okay to impose your religious beliefs as law on other people. And that includes, you know, trying to bar women from getting access to abortion who are raped and girls who are victims of incest by family members or other adults. Like, it is just shocking to me. Someone could make that decision for themselves that they don't want to have an abortion, but how dare they tell those people who've been victimized by someone that they can't make that choice and that they can't do so because of someone else's religion, namely the religion of a legislator or a particular judge. Just like you were saying, Rick, at the beginning, you have these legislators who are now trying to basically use their power to redirect our tax dollars to these, you know, private schemes, some of which get some people very rich in these charter arenas, without hardly any oversight, let alone this effort to try to subsidize religious schools.
It's crazy. And the hope is by having these conversations, people open their eyes and see what's right before us, that Education Incorporated is coming for your children's education and not in a good way. Where can we go to get some more information on this?
Sure. We have some materials on our site, which is truenorthresearch.org. We've also done some writing with Truth Out on these issues in particular to talk about who these groups are, what funding is known about them, who the people are, what, and kind of how they're connected to that broader privatization agenda. I care deeply about public schools, Rick, as I know you do, and about education. I want kids to have a great education. That includes math, science, and, you know, in their home, it includes their own moral education from their parents, ethics and morals. But I think when it comes to our schools, we need to make sure that that kids are getting access to real knowledge about history and literature and science and math. Yep. That's one of the things that has made America so strong in the past century was the advent of public schools that provided universal public education to all people in our democracy and about our democracy.
There you go. Lisa, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Come back again real soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Our good friend Lisa Graves. Make sure you check out their website, truenorthresearch.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. Quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1913, marking the first day of the Paterson, New Jersey silk weavers' strike. During the strike, more than 20,000 silk weavers walked off the job. The strike started at the Doherty Silk Mill, where after years of declining wages, poor working conditions, and long work days, workers had endured the final straw, as management doubled the number of weaving looms handled by each worker from 2 to 4. The silk weavers decided to strike in protest. Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, an organizer from the International Workers of the World, came to Paterson to help with the strike. Soon, ribbon makers, silk dryers, and other weavers joined the effort for improved working conditions. Demands quickly expanded to include the 8-hour day. Immigrant workers from 9 different countries participated in the action, which shut down nearly 300 silk mills in the city of Paterson. The strike lasted more than 5 months. More than 1,800 workers were arrested. Eventually, the strike was broken by management, with the workers gaining few concessions. During the strike, workers were forbidden from meeting in the city of Paterson by city officials. So the mayor of nearby Hailden invited the workers to meet in his town instead. Pietro Botto, an Italian weaver, had sympathy for the strikers, many of whom were Italian. He and his wife Maria offered his home as a meeting place. Huge crowds came to hear speakers such as Upton Sinclair and Elizabeth Gurley Flynn give speeches from the second floor balcony of the Botto home. Today, the Victorian-style Botto home is the site of the American Labor Museum. You can visit the museum to learn more about the Paterson Silk Strike and about other important events in American labor history by visiting their website, www.labormuseum.net. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So real quick, wanted to finish up with, you know, on the education front. Look, you know, conservatives have done a masterful job over the years of moving the curriculum in their favor. And most recently, you look at what DeSantis has been able to accomplish down in Florida as the College Board has stripped down the AP curriculum on African-American studies to take out any of the conversations they had about black writers and scholars that were had any association, even very minor, with this theory on race that's critical. Any of the LGBT stuff, any of the black feminism stuff, any of that stuff, any of the things that they found objectionable, taken out, but did add did add black conservatism. So again, they play the long game because, well, they've got the power, the money, and the resources to do it, and they're shameless. And this is where we keep taking it on the chin. Look, at the end of the day, I want history. I want accurate history.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.